WJZU Pacific Grove.
And this is side two. This is Mae Brussel, KAZU in Pacific Grove, California. Article in Covert Action this week. It comes out several times, four times a year, I guess it is. I lose track. Summer 1982, the administration of Ronald Reagan is going to increase covert action of the Central Intelligence Agency, and he has what he called a Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board. I mention this because in covert action, they listed Alfred S. Bloomingdale, former head of Diners Club, as being on the board of the intelligence operation, and Richard Allen, formerly Reagan's national security advisor, will be a part-time consultant to the board. Now, Mr. Bloomingdale is the fellow who's having a little trouble with Vicky Morgan. Her $18,000 a month funds were cut off, and I suggested that she was more into espionage than even the whips and chains and the kinky sex. And this was a perfect way to the funds, I believe, were cut off when Roberto Calvi was hung in Italy, that a lot of espionage money is going to be cut off that would have come through other routes, that she'll be paid off by a lawsuit, but temporarily her money was cut off. So these are the kind of people that Ronald Reagan has, people with double lives, double wives, sadomasochism. This is his very fine Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, and Alfred Bloomingdale is one of those characters on the board. There's an open letter in the Los Angeles Herald Examiner this last week that sort of paraphrased what I was trying to say about John Schmitz and Alfred Bloomingdale and what I called high society. But they brought out, the author of this particular open letter, brought out the fact of the hypocrisy of John Schmitz making fun of the hippie generation, the free love, the communal hippie beings or whatever during the 60s and later in the 70s, putting down young people doing their thing. And this person wrote open letters saying, I'm really surprised at you. You claim you're a devout Catholic, you read the Bible, you have this intemperate view of other people, you're so impatient, you've had a wife for 28 years, now you have a mistress going the same time, and then you have a son and a daughter-in-law who are the godparents of your love child. And the author said, of the letter said, you're presiding over a regular free love-in like the 60s, and how come, John? You know, you're putting down the young generation, and you're doing everything they did and more, having double families and getting them all involved in these particular activities of yours. So that the people that are passing such strict criticism or opinions about other people, I think a little more scrutiny and we'd find that they have their own problems at home. I didn't want to pass up an article that I have pulled for primary notice. It's in the Washington Post, and I didn't want to pass it up. It was July the 11th, 1982, and it's called The Document That Sowed the Seed of Haig's Demise. Now, the reason this Fritz Kramer is so important that I keep mentioning him is that Fritz Kramer is the real godfather of Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig. And this article in the Washington Post has a letter that Alexander Haig gave Ronald Reagan when he was going to become president. It was dated January the 6th, 1981, and the inauguration wasn't until the 21st. And in the letter, he says he will make various decisions, and he said, as your Secretary of State, I will be the vicar for the community departments and foreign policy. I will be your vicar, with a capital V. And he said, well, he listed some of the things that he would be doing, and one of them would be food policy, a particularly valuable instrument of foreign policy in the years ahead. Now, that is one of the things that many presidents tried to stay away from, and it's one of the things that Reinhard Gehlen, the mentor of Alexander Haig, wanted. He wanted, as soon as World War II is over, to starve 40 million people in 1 week, Reinhard Gehlen. That's the fellow that was knighted by the Vatican about 2 months later and made a Knight of Malta and flown to the United States as soon as the war was over. His first goal, as soon as he had control of the continent of Europe, was to starve 40 million people within 1 week, just round them up and starve them to death. Forget the gas chambers. So in this memo where Haig is presenting to the soon-to-be president of the United States, he says, I will be your vicar and I will use food as a policy. Then he lists upcoming events of importance that he will have to attend to. This is Alexander Haig, the protege of Fritz Kramer, the man from the state, the Pentagon, not the State Department. He made State Department policy. But the man who had so much influence over Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig. And he has upcoming events for the president. This is dated January the 6th, but just came out recently in the Washington Post. Number one visit was a Korean visit with Kim Dae-jung. And that is a coup that took place where he killed the person that he worked with right at the dinner table. And the subject of that murder is part of that book, The Circle, the murder of the Korean president. So the next assassin is the first person invited to the White House for the president of the United States when he's inaugurated. The second guest, February 17th, was to be the king and queen of Spain. Now, that was a fascist coup of the Nazis retrenching after World War II that didn't take place. A few people were charged. They tried even another coup after that. The CIA and the United States were behind that one. And Haig was arranging the dinner for the king and queen of Spain, even though he was planning for their removal and a coup in the country at the same time. And the third party would be with the French foreign minister, and fourth, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. Now, Margaret Thatcher was working with Roberta Calvi and the NATO group from Italy, Licio Gelli, and Alexander Haig, and they were planning a fascist coup in Italy. The CIA had planned military intervention in Italy from 1946 on. They were going to send in troops in 1976. So when they entertained Margaret Thatcher, they were planning a coup almost simultaneously. The story broke in May about the plans to turn Italy into a fascist Nazi country the way the CIA did in Greece. But luckily, it was overturned after a few years, and there was plenty of torture and pain in that interim when the United States put a coup into Greece that didn't hold, but what if it had? And we were trying to throw these other countries into a coup. Now, he has here a contingency plan for Poland. That's the next thing on his list. Well, between February and Poland was the shooting of Ronald Reagan in March, and that little episode took place in March of 1981, and then a contingency plan for Poland. Now, that was a coup that didn't take place either. There weren't very many successes, and if some of you feel despondent about the news and you think things are going all wrong, to keep in mind what was planned and didn't take place and be glad it didn't happen and the plans are falling apart. The Korean coup had taken place, but the Spanish one didn't. The United States didn't when Haig was going to take over and be in command in charge here. The Italian one didn't, and Licio Gelli had to flee the country, and the Polish coup instigating the Soviet Union to come in and have a confrontation didn't take place. But the very important issues of January the 6th that Haig presented to the President of the United States as the new Secretary of State, as his vicar, he refers to himself, I will be your vicar, with a Korean visit, the King and Queen of Spain, Margaret Thatcher, the plans for Poland, etc. So Haig has a lot of power, and that's why, again, I keep going into the Fritz Kramer story. Now, one newspaper, the L.A. Herald Examiner, June the 19th, had the story about Bobby Inman leaving as deputy director of the CIA to work for the Democratic-controlled House Select Committee on Intelligence. Well, one of the things that this author mentioned who wrote The Circle was that Edwin Wilson will never come to trial. Edwin Wilson is the entire American assassination era, from the U-2 flights to the Kennedy assassination, the Bay of Pigs, up through the murder of Sadat in Egypt. Edwin Wilson is in this country now, but he will never come to trial. And while the House Intelligence Committee is working, the advisor to it is their part-time consultant, is now Mr. Inman, deputy director of the CIA, who headed Edwin Wilson's team. This is similar to Bernard Fensterwald, the attorney who formed the committee to investigate assassinations. And while he worked with the various researchers, he was the attorney for James Earl Ray and for Mitchell Werbel and Irv Davidson and the other side, the assassination teams and the assassination researchers. Well, Inman is now advising the House, and everything that Wilson says will be top secret. So very little will come out of that trial. They'll have a way of getting him out. Now, there's an organization called Western Goals that I want to mention because Roy Cohn has joined this organization. Roy Cohn has been troubled for a long time. Incidentally, he was just in San Francisco at the National Convention, the American Bar Association. They had Alexander Haig there and Roy Cohn, and somebody brought in a pig with the name Roy painted on it and took it out of the room. Roy Cohn has been appointed to Western Goals. Alfred Bloomingdale is on the House Intelligence Committee of Ronald Reagan, and Roy Cohn is part of Western Goals. Now, that has been going for 3 years, set up by Larry McDonald from Georgia. And also on this group is the father of the hydrogen bomb, Edward Teller, and Roger Milliken from North Carolina, the textile executive. Now, one of the things we have to watch for the next 2 years, and I'll be talking about it maybe every week mentioning, is the Olympic Games in Los Angeles. That is a place to plan a coup in this country again if they want to. This country is going to build up the terrorism shtick, the garden plot that Ronald Reagan was in on when he was governor of the United States, the plans to take over the United States, to end the kind of democracy that we have. This Larry McDonald is the fellow I've mentioned from Georgia who is linked to Mr. Habash in Beirut, Lebanon, and into Chile, with the assassination teams coming out of the Mitchell Ward Bell training camp in Georgia, the same bases that Mark David Chapman was located, the fellow that killed John Lennon. Larry McDonald should be investigated for the allegations and charges that Robert Byron Watson made of his working with the international assassination teams. Now, this is a fellow working with a terrorist making the left making the right wing look like the left. And when he teams up with Roy Cohn, one of the original people that promoted Senator Joe McCarthy, that worked with the Nazis out of Malmondy, with the Fritz Kramer, Kissinger, Haig group, when they team up and put Roy Cohn on the board of their anti-communist group, there are a whole circle of organizations getting set now that are trouble. They've been trouble from the early 50s and the breaking America apart with the House Un-American Activities, and they're still out looking for communists while all the evidence is that the terrorism is being funded from the right. But when divergent people merge, such as Roy Cohn, working out of law offices in New York City and with members of the organized crime syndicate, such as the Genovese, the Cosa Nostra, the Gambinos, and Senator Joe McCarthy, the Nazi element, the far right-wing element, when he begins working with Teller, you see, it's like the book review of The Circle. You get the military intelligence, people like Mr. Teller, Edward Teller, and your hydrogen bombs. You get your terrorists like Mr. McDonald, Representative McDonald, working with the counterintelligence. Roy Cohn with the crime syndicate and the political smear group, they all merge together, not only in novels such as The Circle, and he's referring to Reverend Moon and Kissinger and the Korean connections and the mafia connections in the White House, but this Eastern group, a different segment, is coming together and forming committees, and we have to watch these committees. Now, this past week, there were 18 very important articles on the financial crisis in Italy. In the last 3 weeks, I've been talking about the murder of Roberto Calvi and the effect it is going to have on banking institutions. I can't share in 15 minutes all 18 articles, but I want to mention some of the important articles that are out in case you want to read them. I have them on the sheet that accompanies this tape. If you listen on the air, you can write to me. Incidentally, it's Post Office Box 22511, May, Brussels, Carmel 93922. And if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope and ask for sheets from particular broadcasts, I will send you the bibliography and the source of information that I have that goes with each of these cassettes. People that subscribe to the cassettes get the sheets automatically, but if you tape this off the air and want the bibliography, all you have to do is write to me and I'll send them to you. Now, the New Solidarity newspaper, July 12, 1982, has a long article, half a page, Central Banks Cover for Crime and Terrorism. And this is about the Italian Banco Ambrosiano, the network of the Italian judges in Italy accusing the various bankers that are going under right now of funding crime networks, of working with terrorism, of gun running, of using financiers for terrorism, and simulating organizations such as the Red Brigades and so forth. This article is about the Bank of England and the Bank of Italy and Margaret Thatcher running to Rome last week, running off, and Warren Burger, our Chief Justice, was in Rome. There's a lot of running around, and it's about the institute in Basel called the Bank for International Settlements and how the banks in London and the banks in Italy are in Basel now trying to figure out what to do with their losses, as much as $20 billion worth of capital funneled out of Italy alone, and also those problems in Great Britain. Four major banks are having the same problem in Great Britain. Another long article in the New York Times, July the 18th, 1982, checks and imbalances at the Vatican Bank. And it goes into the missing millions and billions. And this article is by Malachi Martin. It said there is enough intrigue to fill a series of spy novels. And he has written some wonderful books on this subject. And he says, how much money has disappeared and where has it gone? This will bring plenty of questions. And, of course, that is where I want to see where the money has gone. He refers to transferring Vatican money into corporations such as Chase Manhattan, General Foods, General Electric, Shell Gasoline, Standard Oil, and so forth. In 1972, when I published my first article, Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped, I used the example of Pershing Gervais. It was the back of the Realist article, how Pershing Gervais was coaxed by John Mitchell to try and frame Jim Garrison with a phony arrest in 1971 because Garrison was working on the Kennedy assassination. And then Pershing went to Canada and decided to come home. And he was given a phony minister's permit to work in Canada. Then he was given an alias. Then his birth certificate for him and his family. Then he was hired by an oil company in Vancouver. And the money came out of General Motors in Detroit. He got $18,000 a year. Well, there's inflation now. Vicky Morgan gets $18,000 a month. So you can see how much inflation there is. Finally, he couldn't stand it there, and his child didn't like it, and his wife. And he came home and he exposed the government. But the point is that these huge institutions pour money into something like General Motors or these big companies, General Foods, and then they write the paycheck and put the spies or the people who framed men like Jim Garrison or political assassins, they put them on the payroll, and it looks like they're paid by General Motors, and the money was coming right out of institutions such as the Vatican, and you weren't supposed to know it, except that the banks are emptied now, and people are asking, where did it go? The London Times has a marvelous article, Sunday, July 18th, 1982. There's three sentences in there. I envy the writing style of some of these people. I can't equal it, but I can paraphrase it. I just want to read three sentences from the London Times on this question. It's called Bankers Choke on Ambrosia. And this is what Graham Sargent writes. He says, for the world's high-dealing international bankers and our big four, those are the four biggest in London, are all prominent on the list. The past fortnight has produced one piece of bad news after another. Only the Machiavellian cross-section sliced through the tangled affairs of Italy's Banco Ambrosiano has really made the headlines. Banco Ambrosiano has only made the headlines, so can you imagine the four biggest banks in London and J.P. Morgan and Chase Manhattan this week were transferring money to London, and the London Times had an article, wait till the Americans find out that J.P. Morgan and Aetna Insurance are taking it out of this country to cover the losses there. This article goes on to say that only the Ambrosiano has broken yet, but the four big banks in England are involved. But taken together, this article says, these various strands will exert even greater strain on the world liquidity and threaten world trade recovery. They refer to the Midland Bank and the National Westminster Bank, the defaulting of the Luxembourg subsidiary, and hundreds of millions of dollars gone. And then it says, after earlier collapses, leading central banks joined together in Basel Concordat to smooth out their fears. And this is where they met in Basel, Switzerland, to find out what they should do and the real money worries and the major problems. I bring this up because they talk about the money they lost in going into Poland, the money in Argentina, the money in Turkey and Mexico. They've taken tremendous loans, and the money has gone down the drain, and there's no way to get it back. They've given it out in the hopes of promoting fascism, but the people don't want to overthrow their leaders. They're incapable of doing it, or they don't care to. It was the same way that we worked so hard and put so much time and money into landing at the Bay of Pigs, thinking everybody would raise their hands again and say, welcome. People didn't object to Fidel Castro that much. The same thing happened when Germany went into Russia, into Soviet Union. They were sure when they got there that the Russians would pour out, leave the communist countries. They didn't think they would let 7 or 8 million die defending one city and saying, go home. The people stood and died and defended what they had in preference to Nazi Germany. And we have funded, taken our money from American banks and put it into the European banks, and they have given it to countries, and we've given loans where there's no possible way to pay them back. And eventually the American banks, such as the Continental Bank and the Franklin and the Drysdale and Chase Manhattan, lost $30 million last week, and they're still sending money over to England. Something is going to happen, and also, again, the California banks. Another article, the Vatican banker to stand trial. This is the Banca Privata Italiano. Luigi Manini is to stand trial with 25 others for the losses in that bank. Two of the men of the 25 have disappeared. One, Mr. Oliveira in Switzerland, and another out of Scotland. Two of the 25 are gone. Wall Street Journal, July 26, Italians will continue the Calvi probe despite the ruling of suicide. They believe he was murdered. They want to find the murderers. They don't believe that Roberto Calvi hung from the bridge the way they said he did, and they still want to go into the ownership of the Panama banks. If we only knew the dummy fronts down there and where the money went, it would tell us a lot of how huge corporations have used a religious institution to set up dummy fronts. And I keep bringing this up, you know, week after week with new articles, because the scandal of hiring terrorism and assassination teams, planning military coups, planning the killing of Orlando Letelier, any politician or congressman or newspaper person who stands for the people, or persons such as those five millionaires I listed at the beginning of the program that go flying out of windows, that are found shot outside their homes. There is so much havoc and there's so much intensity to cover this up that more people are dying, and it's going to get harder to cover because there's this reckless killing now. And I spent last night about 5 hours just typing the main murder stories of the week and decided to save them for another program. But there are so many. A guard outside the Kennedy Center in Boston, Sammy Davis Jr.'s guard out front of his house, movie actors, Mr. Morrow, the set there, an animation that is Tangled Affair, and the William Holden will. It goes on and on. They asked for investigation into Atlanta, Georgia, again, opening. They don't believe that Wayne Williams did all those murders. I typed maybe 20 pages of just 1 week's stories of cases being reopened. The CIA killing Marilyn Monroe, LAPD ready to go into the Belushi case again. There is a madness, and there's a common denominator going through this. And the trick is to find out who is doing the killing, who's paying the bucks. And if they're hiding behind something so horrendous as religious institutions, and one as large as that, that makes it worse. And when they empty the major banks of Europe, the German banks and the Italian and the English, and they find out all that money is gone out of the country to Nazi organizations in Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil, getting ready for a real takeover. When you find that is happening, it is very serious. And that is, in essence, where the money has gone and has been traced, and they've admitted it. And finally, the last article that's so important, a spreading mystery of the Italian bank scandal. This is the New York Times, a Paul Lewis story, July 27th, a full page. And it goes into the Chase Manhattan Bank denying their agreement with the Vatican on missing money and pouring $500 million credit, arranging for the Vatican Bank. They bring in the Chase Manhattan into this story and the Roman Catholic Church. And this article begins with the God's banker, Roberto Calvi, being found dead, similar to that Wall Street Journal story of the attorney from Toronto being thrown out the window in April. It says it's sending shockwaves throughout the world of international finance and raising questions of current efforts to regulate the multinational banks. In such scandals, the New York Times says there are unverifiable reports of organized crime figures, anti-government secrets. The British Secret Service suspects the Italians of funding the Argentine arms purchases during the war in the Falklands. You see, I said that visitor with the Queen had more to do with the Falklands and the missing millions, that there was some message of a kind that he was allowed to know which room and when to go to speak with her. And right after that, she was put in the hospital for the first time in her life and whisked away to Windsor Castle. The New York Times article goes into, again, 400 million missing here, 1.2 billion missing there, and the scandal that the Italians were funding the weapons to fight the British in the Falklands, that it was going down to the Argentine government and out of the West German Herstatt Bank, and again, the meeting in Basel, Switzerland. On the darker side, this article says, of the Banco Ambrosiano scandal, rumors abound, but facts are scarce. Mr. Calvi was mentioned in May as part of the Masonic Lodge. That was a secret group in Italy that planned the Nazi takeover of Italy in May, that planned to kill the king and queen of Spain earlier in the year, and had Ronald Reagan's assassination attempt. It had nothing to do with Jodie Foster. They had this little neo-Nazi traveling around, and he'll be out of jail in about 6 months. The New York Times says that towards the end of his life, Mr. Calvi was suspected of being with underworld figures, lent Peru $200 million to buy secret missiles for the Argentine Air Force during the Falkland War. No wonder they hung him off of a bridge in London and called it a suicide. And this article goes into the scandal of the missing money in Luxembourg owed to Great Britain, the British banks that are in trouble. This is a full page article of a outwork of the money change. It's a charge of the money change in the Ambrosiano scandal, going from Milan to private banks to Luxembourg to subsidiaries in Latin America to the Bahamas and the Vatican and the Panamanian companies. Now, these countries that I mentioned, like Peru, Argentina, England, seem scattered, but the main thing that's happening in Europe is that the major nations like the United States and Great Britain and our 250 banks have funded countries that took huge loans that they can't pay back. They can't pay back the interest, and they can't begin to ever pay the loans back, so we have to, as taxpayers, assume those loans that our country gave to these people, and the money is not accounted for, and the murders are going on, and the assassinations of the witnesses who could talk are going on, and the money's going down to South America for weapons and missile systems. So the scandal of using institutions such as the church or murdering primary witnesses, linking them to the underworld, is the essence of The Circle. That book, that this new book that came out on The Circle, talks about the use of the underworld, the use of assassination teams, of elected officials in Washington, unelected officials. And the main thing I think we have to always look for is to break this chain of theirs, to demand that somebody be accountable for this. If it isn't Ronald Reagan, get a president up for nomination who will be accountable. And if a candidate comes through, pin him on these questions. What will you do? Now, I'm going to write to Ronald Reagan this week and ask about Helene von Dahm, how he can put a Nazi female in charge of the White House appointments, which he's done. He did in Sacramento, and he moved her to Washington, and find out what bank Mr. von Dahm, Christian von Dahm, belongs to in Germany, because this, again, affects that article, I believe, the Arctic Circle scandal, the German banks that I'll go into next week. It's a tangled affair. I'm glad that some authors are coming out with books that have the totality of it, because then I think you can see better what I've been trying to show, the little pieces. There are some major books out now linking all of these forces, and the forces are coming out in the newspaper. I've got a pile here of evidence that they are coming out every day, the interconnecting links, finally. Well, this is Mae Brussel. That's enough to absorb for 1 week, I believe. Do your homework and read your books and newspapers, and I'll be back with you next week. This is KAZU.